Welcome to a special edition of the Overthink podcast. My name's Nick from How to Read Comics, and with me is my friend Richard Nile.
Hey, I'm Richard Nile from a bunch of other stuff that doesn't happen on podcasts.
Like like real life.
Like real life stuff.
Like the stuff we get paid for.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. We've decided that we wanted to watch, while we live hundreds of miles apart.
Yeah.
We decided we want to see Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. Is it the Last Jedi or just Last Jedi? It's The Last Jedi.
I honestly don't know. I think it's The Last Jedi.
I don't think the minutia of that's going to really kill us. But we wanted to watch it together. So yeah. I drove up to see Rich, and our friend Joel will be joining us later.
Yep.
And we're going to go see one of the first showings of The Last Jedi tonight.
That's right.
In a couple hours.
That's right.
But before that, we wanted to really submerge ourselves into the Star Wars world, talk a little bit about where we think Star Wars has been, where it's going.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is to play Star Wars board games.
That's right.
We just got done playing Star Wars Destiny, a card and dice rolling game, and we had a lot of fun. So
it is.
If you want to get into the festive Star Wars mood,
yeah,
go down to your local game store and get that game.
Yeah, it's literally called Star Wars Destiny. It definitely, there's a video instructions on the internet, must watch, because the game is a little bit confusing, but if you just sort of bear with it and play a couple rounds and
it'll be fine.
Rewatch the instructions as you play, yeah, it's a great game.
We had fun. It came down to the last round for us.
It did. It came down to the last round, last point, a very satisfying end.
The dark side won this time. But anyway. But to segue into the film, actually talking about the films, I wanted to ask you, because I don't think I've ever asked you this question before.
Yeah.
What one of your first memories of Star Wars was?
I think my first memories of Star Wars, watching A New Hope with my dad, probably like a lot of folks our age, it was just sort of Star Wars was just something that was in our minds, I think, from a young age. Probably everybody these days.
Yeah.
Star Wars, I don't really remember a time when I didn't know of Star Wars. Probably my strongest memory, though, is I went to when the originals were re-released theatrically, we went and saw them.
Oh, that's cool.
So I just have a really distinct memory of watching A New Hope as the theatrical re-release. And there's a scene when I think I'm getting a little mixed up in my mind, but I think there's a scene where some X-Wings are flying towards Yavin, and the S-foils are opening, and they had redone that in CG, and I just thought it was incredible. I was like 8 or 9 at the time and thought it was insane.
I can't pick that out in my head, how they redid that in CG, but if we watched it now, it would be like, oh.
Yeah, it would be like, oh, and if I remember correctly, it's actually like only 3 or 4 X-Wings that they actually CG'd into position, so it's really nothing now, but.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's
me. It's cool nonetheless.
It's my really, and I watched Empire, I feel like, a lot as a kid. I still watch Empire a lot.
That's a good one. My first, I'm trying to pick out the year, and I think I can actually, but I think it was like 92.
Huh.
My father owns a furniture store, and we had just moved into a new building. There was a part of the store that, maybe it was 93 or something, but there's a part of the store that they redid he partnered with the local AV, like video store, like the people that sell hi-fi equipment and stuff. Partnered to make a theater room as part of the store, and they outfitted it with like a giant projection screen TV, and it was like giant, so it was probably at the time like 45 inches or 50 inches, something like that.
But compared to like 18 inches.
Yeah, compared to 18 inches. Set it up with the latest technology at the time, which was Laserdisc.
Wow.
So I remember watching A New Hope
on
Laserdisc in this cool like theater room. And the thing that sticks out to me the most is that final scene in The New Hope where they have the big ticker tape parade for them and the big ceremony, and everything's golden and shiny, and they turn around and it's like, So that's pretty much the one scene in A New Hope that I can pick out from the back of my mind and just see it like vividly.
And that's funny.
In clear laser disc detail.
For me, that scene is probably in Empire when he's in the Wampa cave.
Yeah.
And he lops off its arm. And I just remember thinking, like, oh my goodness, look at that.
That part scared me.
So scary.
And I had to look away when he sliced open the tauntaun.
Yep.
Both those things were a little too intense for me.
Yeah. Same.
One other quick segue, too, is I remember listening to the novelized versions on audio tape on long trips.
Nice.
And I listened to Empire quite a bit.
We just had Lion King. My dad would put the entirety of Lion King from VHS onto a cassette tape.
His own version of audio. Yes. So some long pauses.
Somewhere. And one of the Henry VIII or something.
Oh my gosh. That's classic.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So we'll fast forward a little bit and talk a little bit more about Force Awakens and Rogue One. Those are the last two films that have come out, and those are really kind of setting up what we're going to go see tonight. So do those movies excite you for the franchise? Do they make you more excited for the Last Jedi? Less excited about the same? I guess in comparison to like the original films,
right? Well, so definitely Force Awakens, I was really excited about and on board.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue One, I really hated the idea of expanding the Star Wars universe because I thought it was going to turn into Marvel or something. And I was just convinced it was going to be maybe a decent movie, but I was just going to really hate what it had done to the expansion of Star Wars. But, I mean, we saw it together with Ben. And
I remember that being your big concern.
And it was just, I thought they did an awesome job. I love that they wrapped up by killing off those characters, that they wrapped up that story. It's still, you know, I watch that movie maybe once a month or once every other month, and it's just an awesome movie. So I really think they've done a good job.
Yeah, and be sure to keep an ear out. We're going to dive really deep into Rogue One on Resistance Rewind, I believe.
Anyway, oh, nice.
Don't quote me on that. It may or may not be happening, but keep an ear out. We're going to be talking about Star Wars for a while on the Overthink.
The next 60 years.
Until the Han Solo movie comes out, pretty much.
Right. What do you think about
Force Awakens in Rogue One? Star Wars, for me, I can kind of just throw caution to the wind and just jump into it and have a good time. I know there's a lot. I mean, fortunately, they are cinematically pretty good movies, but they're also cinematically very messy movies.
Right.
They've got a lot of pros and a lot of cons. They're kind of a lot of things are going on. For every fan, you will find a critic. And for every extreme fan, you will find an extreme critic.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm one or the other. I think I'm apolitical when it comes to Star Wars. Like, I'm in it just to be in that world. And I mean, yes, I'm a fan, but like, there's definitely room in me where I understand like the issues you had with wanting to see Rogue One.
Right.
Part of me goes, just lighten up and just watch the movie and have fun. But the other part of me goes, well, no, Star Wars is different for everybody.
Right.
It's one of those things that it's different. Everybody enjoys it differently and it's totally fine.
Yeah.
Like, just jump in and have fun. Some people hate the original, or not the original. Somebody hate the prequels. Some people love them.
Right.
I'm more of the mindset of just jump in and have fun. The original prequel, the things I remember the most about the prequels were not a lot of the details, but like all the auxiliary stuff, like the video games and
brother
having like the dual bladed Darth Maul extendable lightsaber and having like it just hit the right time frame for me to where it didn't matter what the story was. It was just a start. It was, there's lightsabers and pod racers.
I do
pod
remember racers? Like, I think it was maybe right before Force Awakens came out. I think you're wearing this AT-AT shirt right now, and you had the AT-AT shirt on, and it was like a surprise to me that you liked Star Wars. Because we've been friends for almost 10 years now, more than 10 years, And it was something we hadn't ever talked about. Like, I don't remember us ever having a conversation for the first 5 years of our friendship. We talked about, yeah, zero
conversations. We just would stand in front of each other and be like, to hand motions and sign language.
Nick and I.
That would still be a conversation. Sign language is still a conversation.
Right.
We just...
I don't know. Would have done that.
Played video games. Played a lot of video games.
So, but I mean, we talked about just about everything for like 5 years. We did not, or 7 years. We did not talk about Star Wars. So it was. I was really surprised. I was like, "Whoa, what's?"
So I think that sums. I think that kind of
what's Nick all about.
I think that kind of sums me up. In the fact that I'm neither a fan nor a heavy critic. I just like to experience it, and I'm not going to like stop somebody on the street and be like, "Star Wars." Get with the picture. I mean, I guess like this podcast would be the most Star Wars fanish thing to do.
Yes.
But I don't care if anybody listens to it. I just want to have a conversation with my friend talking about Star Wars.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's neither for nor against. But anyway.
Right. I would just, I feel like I have a stake in, you know, I have something in the game whenever I watch a new Star Wars movie. I'm like, this could unravel my childhood. Whereas with you, it's a little bit more relaxed, I would say.
Yeah. It's only because I've taken my childhood and wrapped it up in a mind bubble and shoved it deep into my head that nobody can touch it. It doesn't matter. It's a force field.
A blessed life. Is that the midichlorians that were working here?
I surrounded my childhood in a force field of midichlorians.
Got it.
There you go. So on to predictions, hopes, dreams for Last Jedi. I'm going to start with you because, like I said, my answer to this is going to be, I just want to have a good time tonight.
Wow. Wow.
But there's definitely a chance where I might not have a good time tonight.
Yeah.
And it would be, you know, hopefully it's not boring.
Right.
All the reviews say it's going to be good. But it sounds like you have more of a stake in this. So what's up?
You know, I haven't watched a single trailer for it. I've avoided all the... anything I can, because I don't want any you know, anything to taint my preconceived notions. But I will say, you know, the $1 million question for me is, who's Rey's? Where did Rey come from? Who are her parents? How did she end up on Jakku? Mm-hmm. Why did she want to get back to Jakku? What was that ship that was blasting off?
Yeah.
I mean, all those things, right? That is, to me, that's what I really want to know. I don't have, there are all these weird theories. The most compelling is a theory that we already discussed today. The Darth Maul being...
Oh, yeah. No, Snoke.
Yeah, Snoke being Mace Windu.
I'm still holding that. So I guess I do have one. I do have a couple of stakes in this. I want to see some of these fan theories come through. That's probably the one I dove the deepest into.
Right.
Was whether or not Snoke is Mace Windu or not. And we discussed this.
Right. Mace gets blown out that window in Coruscant.
Nobody. Right. There's no way to confirm that he's actually died.
Right.
So it could happen.
And I mean, aside from that very realistic possibility, what else are you predicting
about? I only hear a lot of these headlines on like is this gonna happen?
Yeah.
It'd be very interesting if Rey was related to Luke in some way.
Sure.
I think there have been some articles out there that have said no way that's going to happen. Siblings. But as far as the story goes, siblings.
Yeah,
siblings.
Sibling.
So the relationship could be like either like a blood relationship through like a child or something, or like she could be a clone.
Whoa.
The female clone of Luke or somebody.
This is blowing my mind. I have not heard any of this. Okay. All right.
I was too afraid to. Yeah. Of spoilers to dive any deeper into the articles.
Which, I mean, clone, okay, so what? Boba Fett was Jango Fett's clone. So, it could happen.
There you go. There's lots.
Jenga?
Jenga.
Jenga. He was a Fett.
Jenga?
That's a weird French.
That's some real French.
Huh.
So, as a story, the things that I'm looking forward to happen in a sequel to Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Is the relationship that Rey ends up having with Luke in somehow.
Yeah.
What happens with Finn.
Okay.
As far as like...
He comes back as a robot.
Is he? No, I mean like...
cut up spine.
So one of the most interesting scenes that strikes me from Force Awakens was the scene where They're on what planet is the one with the crazy bar is? The safe haven planet.
Yeah, sure.
The forest planet. When they all get ambushed.
Yeah,
Maz's place. When they get ambushed by the First Order.
Yeah.
Is when Finn picks up the lightsaber.
Yeah.
And starts going to town.
Yeah.
And a lightsaber on its own does not mean, like, a lightsaber does not make a Jedi.
Sure.
But.
Yeah. I mean, he's First Order. He's got this, maybe he's got some sword training.
It was just a really cool scene because it's really cool scene because, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think anywhere in the other six movies a non-Jedi picks up a lightsaber and uses it.
Yeah.
Han
uses Luke's lightsaber to cut open the Tauntaun.
Cut open the Tauntaun and cut him down? He doesn't even cut him down. No.
Does that debunk your theory?
I guess it does debunk my theory. But like in battle,
Jedi.
I mean he could have easily picked up his own knife and
totally.
Done it, you know?
Yeah, totally. Right. I follow you completely. Yeah.
And I'm gonna put Han on blast. He should have just used his blast. I mean, it's more of a Han thing just to shoot the damn thing open than to slice it open. Oh, what's this thing?
Yeah.
Anyway. So I really like Finn as a character.
Yeah.
I nicknamed my truck Finn.
It's true.
And I don't know. I just want to see where that goes.
I just had another.
It's just a cool character. His character is really cool to me.
Yeah.
Poe, I could take him or leave him. Yeah. He's, you know, kind of like the new Han or whatever. Right. And like,
right.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's cool. He's good.
There's another theory.
It's kind of like Lando, where you're just glad he's there.
Yeah. There's another theory.
Uh-oh.
I haven't heard if this is true or not yet, but the other theory that's really interesting is if there will be a Poe and Finn love connection.
For sure.
Who knows? We'll see what happens. I've seen some of the looks they give each other.
I just had a theory, and this is just little while we're sitting here. Okay. Mace Windu falls presumably to his death, but disappears. We don't know what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
The Emperor is thrown into a chasm, and I mean, there's a flash of light, but we don't really know what happens to him. Han Solo, thrown. We don't really know what happens to him. Boba Fett goes into the Sarlacc, but we don't really know. I mean, he's got that Mandalorian armor. So there's this.
He made it out.
There's this there's this running enemies, good guys getting thrown into things in Star Wars. The one guy, I mean, the one resolution to a person falling a long ways is Luke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Luke in Empire. He falls and falls and falls, but he survives.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just starting to wonder, you know, does this prove maybe that Mace is actually came back as Snoke? Because falling in Star Wars doesn't seem to kill you.
Let's see. One other...
not to tangent.
No. I'm holding... I want to see one of the fan theories come through. True.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what happens with Rey. And to see Leia's role. And,
yeah, you know, that's a big one. I was kind of saving that one for last, but it's just going to be.
Bittersweet.
Rogue One was so bittersweet.
Yeah,
we watched that New Year's Day.
Yeah, for sure.
Carrie Fisher had passed away just a week or so before, 2 weeks before, and that last scene in Rogue One where they CG'd her character, but
right. Yeah,
that was intense. Now we're gonna watch a movie where she's live acting. I just want to see.
Yeah.
I know that they'll do a really good job with that character.
Yeah,
And do it the right way. I was too afraid of spoilers throughout the year to actually dig into too many articles.
Yep.
But it'd just be interesting to see. I don't know how much of the film was made before she passed away. So it'll be real interesting how they handle that. And I'm sure they'll do a really good job. And man, talk about an amazing character, a character that challenged what people think of women in distress in movies.
The very first scene in New Hope, she just straight up kills a stormtrooper.
And there's tons of
the first scene.
There's tons of great articles, and there was a lot of stuff that came out after she passed away of personal stories.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great things of where she, I think the main anecdote was that she personally was not going to play
a damsel in distress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's
presumably she won't be in this movie either.
I don't think so either. So hopefully they carry that through and hopefully that keeps going. We'll see where that goes.
Cool.
But other than that, I think we're recording this podcast in two parts, before and after.
We're going to go see the movie in a little over 2 hours.
Right. So in preparation, we are going to watch, we're going to go throw on episode 7, Force Awakens, right now. Watch that and then head off to the movie theater. And then when we're back from that, we'll catch up with all you guys. So we're going to go to a quick break. And when we return, we will be wiser.
Are we going to do spoilers when we return?
Yeah. Okay. We will probably spoil some things. So stop
listening if you haven't seen the movie yet.
We appreciate you listening so far. Yeah. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed this so far or felt the same things or that this has got you thinking a little bit more about Star Wars. Go to our website, overthinkpod.com, and send us an email with any suggestions or any stories that you have of Star Wars, or tweet at us at overthinkpod. Share some of your Star Wars stories. We'd love to hear it. But other than that,
cool.
We'll catch you after the break. And
right now.
Right
now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're back. We're back a few hours later. We got out of the movie late last night and figured we should sleep on some of our thoughts and feelings of the movie. But
ruckus debate last night.
Ruckus debate. By the time we realized what we were doing, it was too late to bust out the audio recorder. So
we saw the movie.
We saw the movie, and it was a good time. We had a good time, and I'm just gonna talk about where we saw it real quick. We're in a small coastal town here on the Oregon coast, and we got there about half hour before, and there was nobody in the movie theater.
The entire movie theater was empty. So we walked around the theater, sitting in the various seats until we found the ones we liked.
Yeah, we got the pleasure of being able to try literally any seat we wanted in the house. And find the perfect one. It worked out great.
It was.
Yeah. Right. Good seats.
Honestly, those tiny theaters from when we were kids.
Uh-huh.
But it was still really fun to watch it in, because you still did that thing, even that you do in a big theater, where you have to look at one side of the screen or the other because it's so large in front of you.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it was a good combo. I had probably, 50 total seats?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And half full.
And half full by the end of by the time the film started, there was still open seats. So, 10 o'clock on the coast.
Yeah.
It's not a bad deal. So
spoilers. Spoilers are coming.
Yep. Again, another spoiler warning. I guess I'll start out first.
Yeah. What was your initial reaction to the movie?
My initial reaction to the movie is the second quarter of the movie.
Yeah.
Lost my interest. Mm. And then the opening of the movie, I liked a lot. Lots of fun action. Poe coming in hot with his hot head. That guy, that cool shooter guy.
Yeah.
Fly
boy.
And then the last half of the movie, a lot of the interactions between Kylo and Rey, and Rey and Luke.
Yeah.
That whole drama. I enjoyed a lot. And the battles were all on... The major battles were all in the second half of the film, and they were pretty cool. There was probably one extra battle that probably didn't need to happen. The film kind of kept... there was a lot of battles going on.
There were.
One major battle ended, there'd be like 5 minutes, and then another one would start. And so towards the end of the movie, I was like, oh my gosh, is this movie... is there an end to this movie?
Yeah.
And in my head, I kept on waiting for the drop and waiting for them to cut to black at a really cliffhanger part of the movie. And so
I thought when Luke walked out of that sandy salt base, I didn't think they were going to show him fight anything. I thought it was going to go to black.
And I was kind of getting pissed because I felt that coming. I'm glad that didn't happen, because if that had ended there, then I would have probably felt a little differently about the film. Right. But,
Your general impression was?
Overall, general impression was I liked the majority of the movie. Nice. So I guess I have to give it a thumbs up.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean,
that's fair. I walked out crushed because I
could see that on your face.
I know, and we'll talk about it in depth, but there were just there were some parts that reminded me of the prequels, and I was really struggling with it. So yeah, this is going to be one I'm going to have to think about some more. And I
we'll flesh it out today.
We will. And sure. I woke up this morning wanting to rewatch it, so that's an encouragement, because I walked out of the movie theater never wanted to watch it again. So
yeah,
I'm
making
progress.
I guess that's a good that'd be a good way to put it, is whether you'd rewatch it again. I would definitely watch it again. Settle in on a night in a nice dark room, watch this movie.
Yeah.
Especially, I think we only got to get through about half of Force Awakens.
Yeah.
I'd love to watch those two back to back.
Yeah.
Like,
they
completely
are very much back to back movies.
And they, yeah, you kind of need to. Yeah, there are some things I even forgot from Force Awakens that I was trying to remember, but I finally did. But yeah, so I guess let's take it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Get off of our major critiques of the movie and maybe talk about what we liked about it. Mainly just break it down into a couple things. Like what did you like most about the story of the movie?
I just think they did Luke's story like justice.
Mm-hmm.
His ending, I was totally satisfied with how Luke, he doesn't necessarily die, but he like exhausts his force ability and he allows the rebellion to escape. I mean, of course, I'm sure they could have had him be killed by something.
Yeah.
But the fact that he sort of succeeded in his task of preparing Rey and...
Right. And the whole arc of him going from being such a curmudgeon to, like, being that Jedi master that he probably always felt like he should be.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that tension, especially with the backstory of him and Kylo getting fleshed out. More in this film, you kind of see why he was such a recluse,
right?
And the things that he had to struggle over of he didn't want to train anybody else. He didn't want another
Kylo
to occur.
Right.
His issues with that and training Rey, but then he goes full circle at the end and finds his place in the universe, I guess you could say. And so I like that a lot. I like that story a lot, too. His part in these films, I just like Mark Hamill, period.
Yeah.
I like Mark Hamill, the individual, the man.
Yeah.
He loves these films. He loves film in general. He loves sci-fi. He loves his fans.
Yeah.
And it was good to be able to see him come back and play this character.
Yeah.
And still, he has to play a character that is, I mean, how many years removed?
Right.
40 years removed?
For at least from New Hope.
From A New Hope. And he had to fill in all that time.
Right.
Presumably he was Luke Skywalker all by himself for many, many years. It was a good...
Mark Hamill and Luke Skywalker are almost very similar guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt like he played his character the way he wanted to play it. I felt like that was the way Mark Hamill wanted to be.
Yeah. There's probably he probably took direction well, but I'm sure Ryan Johnson, the director. I'm sure he was like, yeah, whatever you want to do, man.
Right.
there's a great interview with Mark Hamill that the Nerdist podcast does.
It is a good
go listen to that, because you get so much more appreciation of him. The biggest thing of him being just such a fan of the genre of just movies in general. Yeah.
Cool, dude.
That he just does. This is a good character. This is an amazing character for him.
Yeah.
And frankly, one of his only characters in his lifetime.
What about the locations of the movie? A lot of time spent in space.
A lot of time spent in space. You know, these films are very famous for planet hopping quite a bit. And
They did a bit of two. I mean, sort of two planets and a planet we were familiar with. Two new planets, a planet we were familiar with.
They take off from their base.
Yeah.
They go to the casino planet.
Yeah.
then there's Luke's island on whatever planet was.
We know that a little bit.
And then the salt planet
Planet. I think, you know, the space, they have just gotten better with space battles and space visuals as well. there's a scene where this cruiser, rebellion cruiser, goes to light speed through an enemy ship.
And it's such a good part.
That was absolutely spectacular. And I think a scene that you have to see to appreciate it on a big screen like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was one of my... that I don't actually mind the planet hopping so much. I like seeing what they can do with the settings and see the creativity of the the artist behind the film kind of show. But so I was a little nervous when they set up the plot. The main section of the middle of the plot was the rebel freighter was just fast enough to stay out of the cruiser was just fast enough to stay out of range of the guns so that their shields would hold.
Yeah.
It was just a matter before they run out of gas.
Yeah.
Once they set that up, I was like, oh, okay, the people on this ship are just going to be stuck here for the whole... like,
right.
I was like, dang, that sucks.
Yeah.
Not to jump into too much of a critique, but I was glad that they did go out to some of the planet. Yeah. I mean...
And the planet they ended on, I thought was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, visually cool.
The salt planet.
Some things I hadn't... like, someone was really thoughtful when they came up with that.
Yeah.
Because so often in, especially space movies, the setting seems to just be, like, moon-like if they're on a planet.
Yeah. Yeah, or they put them in a big city on the planet.
Right.
And you're in a big city. It's just like in a city. Right. Yeah.
With,
so,
with flying vehicles.
Or with flying vehicles, yeah. They, I mean, Star Wars has definitely tested the gamut of space settings from like scenes of running around Coruscant to like being on the salt planet to the cloud base.
What do you think of Snoke's
chambers? I liked it a lot.
Yeah,
it harkened back to me like classic like Wizard of Oz, like the Wizard's chamber.
Yeah. Is your furniture store going to start selling that chair? Because that throne was
a pretty cool chair.
That was a really cool throne.
Yeah, that room was pretty cool. I got that old school feel of Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. I also got the feel of like I don't know. Have you watched Twin Peaks at all?
No.
There's the red room in Twin Peaks. If you want to learn more about Twin Peaks, go listen to one of our other podcasts.
Nice.
What exactly am I watching here?
Oh.
Jason and Dom.
Oh, classic.
Do a watch through.
Just a classic duo.
They do a watch through of Twin Peaks. Anyway, no more cross promotion, I promise.
Bonnie and Clyde duo right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, let's see. Other stuff. I mean, I loved when Kylo and Rey are back to back lightsaber dueling against those guards.
The battles in this movie.
They're both doing their own stunts, I think, from what I understand. Or a majority of those lightsaber stunts they're doing.
Yeah.
So they're able to, you know, use wide shots. Mm-hmm. They don't just have to keep it at close ins and their sweaty faces.
Mm-hmm.
So the lightsaber, the saber work is awesome.
I think they did a good job building Kylo's character for that. The fighting style that they gave him in this film, or in both of the films, just lead to just watching, like, he can do his own stunts because he's just got that slower... just like raw, just power, trying to like just take out anything, but there's still some finesse to it. But it's cool to watch. And then Rey getting her, you know, being able to hold her own in like basically her first.
I will say, I always feel like, and this is not a critique at all, Rey's potential seems unlimited compared to Kylo. I always feel like Kylo's like, okay, this is Kylo's only ever going to get meaner.
Yeah, I think that's what this film proves.
Right. And maybe that's the idea.
Yeah, I mean, that was for me, that was kind of, and probably for a lot of people, but for me, the plot of this movie, this connection between Rey and Kylo, and is like, is Kylo going to turn back to the light side? Is that balance going to get shifted? Is he too far gone?
Yeah.
They play with that a lot in the middle of the film, and then after that scene where they take out Snoke, it's just, nope, he's a lost cause. And then they prove it by just his raw power and his sheer hate and rage. Luke. And
for sure.
I just think they did a really good job with the battles, using those to to make finite decisions for what's to happen. There's no stalemate, right? It's just, there is a stalemate. I mean,
I think there's
there's no stalemate. There's
storytelling. They're like developing this conflict within Kylo.
Mm-hmm.
But once the opportunity for the conflict to come to a head occurs, that I mean, that happens pretty quick. Rey's imprisoned.
Mm-hmm.
She goes before Snoke. Bam, they kill Snoke. I mean, that's
there
are, I think, some scenes in between, but that happens pretty darn quick.
Yeah. Yeah, and then at the other, at the end of them, there's, I mean, basically this film is the rebellion just keep, like, how many steps ahead can the rebellion be from the New Order? And it's like, well, the answer to that is one step ahead.
Right.
Like, literally just one half step ahead. Yeah. And that was the whole feeling of the movie. But the battles were still able to be not just one-sided.
Right. Yeah, somehow the rebellion still has a few tricks up its sleeve.
Yeah. So I love the I love the battles in this movie. They were good. They were they weren't played out. Like, they weren't like, oh yeah, this battle scene again. Like, oh, I've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
The lightsaber fight in Snoke's chambers was awesome.
And I don't think those what's cool about those is it's hard to get sick of really good lightsaber work.
Yeah. And they saved that too. I mean,
they did.
There was no real lightsaber work until that scene.
There's that, and I was just thinking the one that came before that was Rey with her lightsaber on the island. At one point, there's a like a far away shot of her on a ridgeline with her lightsaber, and it just looks spectacular.
Yeah,
and we should recreate that in our own lives.
In our own lives, maybe. Yeah,
standing atop.
I'll feel that anytime I'm on a hillside
in dusk with a with a lightsaber.
I guess I would. To segue kind of into the critique of this film, talking about lightsabers, they did some interesting things with playing with the norm, like the norms of Star Wars in this movie. Like, the lightsaber is the Jedi's weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And so they open up with Rey trying to give Luke his lightsaber, and he just like takes it and throws it over his shoulder and goes tromping off. And then at the end of the film, the that same lightsaber is broken in half.
My takeaway there was that she's going to use that crystal to make her own saber.
Yeah, no, I mean, they'll probably do something with it, but the biggest critique that I have of this film, coming off of Force Awakens and coming off of Rogue One as well, is that those two films had such a good balance of originality and giving the fans what they wanted, doing fan service. So this film feels like whatever they have built up with those, they took down a notch by, you know, like Luke having irreverence to the lightsaber and basically Luke having such irreverence to the Jedi Order and that whole tension, which is fine. I mean, it told a certain story, but to me, some of those parts, it kind of just felt irreverent to the fans.
Right.
I think you have some of the same issues with different parts of the movie, but
this
film, it just felt like they were trying hard not to be as campy. Not that the other two films were campy at all, but they like were really towing the line, and they're like, well, whenever it gets close to feeling like too chummy, like we need to make it not and like go the opposite direction.
Right.
So they would get really close to something and then they would be like, nope, we gotta, you know, we gotta burn this thing down, or we've gotta blow this thing up, or the rebels aren't gonna make it.
Yeah.
Or, and it was just, I mean, I guess you need to do that. And hopefully they kind of go the opposite direction. The pendulum shifts with episode 9, where the hope comes back. But you've got, the hope is found in Force Awakens and Rogue One. I mean, even though they happen at different points in the Star Wars story, those films are very like hopeful. Like, here's the hope. There's a lot of tragedy, but here's the hope.
Yeah.
And here it comes. This film has glimmers of hope, but you literally have Princess Leia at the very end, nearly the end of the film, before Luke shows up, says, well, the spark is out.
And I think for me, what's tough about it is that I think you make a good point that it seems to be deliberately that way. Because mm-hmm. when you look at it like, okay, the rebellion after Snoke used Starkiller Base to wipe out all those planets, mm-hmm. The rebellion shouldn't have trouble getting allies in this galaxy.
Yeah, once they take out Starkiller Base.
Right, and if the Resistance has, or not the Resistance, if the New Order has just destroyed a bunch of planets, you'd think lots and lots of other planets in the galaxy would say, hey, maybe we should fight these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe another example is Luke. Yeah, Luke is like adamant that he doesn't want anything to do with the Force, but somehow he wants to protect the Jedi tomes.
Yeah,
you know, those Jedi volumes. It's
but then he goes strange. To burn. Then he goes to burn them.
But then he goes to burn them. Yeah, it's just
it's a little out of sorts. Like I said a little bit earlier, I just hope the pendulum swings the other way.
Yeah,
and I feel like the spirit of Star Wars, and they've been blatant about this in the past, is hope over darkness, light over darkness.
Yeah.
And they were really pushing the idea in this film that light and darkness are equal.
Yeah.
But that's out of sorts with what the audience is looking at. They're like, well, we've got the Resistance and we've got the New Order, and we need good to be evil.
Yeah, that's kind of part of the bread and butter of Star Wars.
And then you've got Luke saying, no, light and dark are equal. And and you're just like, oh, geez. But maybe so that this film, I think, is kind of summed up. Actually, I mean, this film really sums up maybe the angst that I'm feeling with this film is like the same angst that Luke was having with his journey in this film, going from being trying to be a pacifist to force projecting himself onto the battlefield and taking care of business.
Yeah.
And, you know, wiping it, dusting his shoulder off. So I don't know. Either this is this is a genius move by the episode 18.
Yeah.
By telling the story to make you feel like the characters might feel.
Yeah.
Make them feel frustrated, make them feel like there's no hope. or maybe it was just slightly off par filmmaking.
Right.
I don't want to say it was terrible filmmaking. There will be people that will say it is terrible filmmaking, I'm sure. But
speaking of, I got to say my part. For me, I walked out of this movie really not liking it because of just the little fluffy creatures on Luke's planet were fine, but when you add the weird racehorse with the llamas. Human face, llamas, and silvery foxes.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that stuff just is like, that's old school George from the prequels just trying to make money off of plush toys and Lego sets. And it didn't add anything to the movie, and it really took away. So I really disliked that, and I feel like they kind of butchered Finn's story. They, you know, like going to this casino planet, adding Rose, who now it feels like we just have another character to resolve and another relationship to sort out. Is it Finn and Rose? Is it Finn and Rey? Is it Rey and Poe?
Yeah. Missed opportunities.
No, let me finish. Yeah. For me, that casino planet bit with Finn, I felt like episode 7 ended on this note of like, well, Finn's going to heal and then do something cool.
Mm-hmm.
And in episode 8, it was like, well, was Finn running away because he wanted to go visit Rey, or was he back to his old ways? And then he just kind of becomes like the character that rides on the horse and the character that rides in the little flying ship.
Yeah.
I think they relegated him to this role that they had made him into an awesome integral part of episode 7, and then in episode 8 he was just kind of sidelined a little bit. He had a lot of screen time, but it wasn't meaningful to me, and I really didn't like that, because I think Finn and Rey, that duo, is what makes episode 7 so special.
Just the parts that we got to watch of episode 7 before we went and saw the film, it's so much of that. It's Finn gets out of the New Order and slams into Rey, and they have their they have to escape, and they get on the Millennium Falcon. And it's just like this really cool way of tying of introducing those characters, and now we're like in the middle age of these characters, and it's just kind of nebulous. And I mean, so much of this film was spent with Rey and Luke on that island, and so maybe they just kind of wrote themselves into a corner. But they could have done something different. Yeah, and to your point, they could have done something different with Finn. They could have done something different with Finn. Like I said, maybe they just wrote themselves into a corner a little bit. But
it seems like, so I no, just had this thought. Finn and Rey are such a dynamic pair.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got, for episode 8, it suddenly was like creating Finn and Rose into a dynamic pair. But already, in my mind, I already have Finn and Rey as this, whether or not they're together or whatever, that aside, like, I love that their interactions. And I don't feel like I needed Finn to have another
adventure
another, with another
person,
like another separate person,
especially a new person.
Yeah.
See, I would have traded it even if it was Finn and Poe doing something.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right?
You 100%.
Because I think the same thing that 100%. You some of the same things that you're saying about Finn, like you could say about Poe in the first one. He opens the film in episode 7. You're like, oh, this is gonna be like the Luke guy. Like, this is gonna be the main guy. And then he's gone for this middle section of the whole movie.
Totally.
And I like Oscar Isaac a lot. He's a great actor, and he brings a good vibe to this character. Plays a good pilot. Plays that Top Gun-ish flyboy character very well. But
do you think? Yeah. Here's a question: do you think he had enough screen time, too much or too little in this movie?
See, I think he had too little, I think he had too little as well.
Yeah.
Because he had to, like, stay behind on the ship and get ready to put it into light speed.
That is a perfect point. If he and Finn had gone to that casino planet.
Yeah. I think the trio would have been good. I don't know what the choice was making Rose a main character. I don't know what that decision was. She's fine to me. The actress that plays her and the character had some like real like meat. Like I kind of project like she's the fan. She's Finn's fan. She's the Resistance biggest fan.
Yes.
So I think they kind of like said, oh, wouldn't it be like cool to put a fan in the movie?
Yeah. Yes.
But I don't know if they should have fleshed that out a lot more. They should have made it a little bit more comedic, but I mean, she has some pretty good timing, and
she does.
She's got some pretty. I liked her as a character. I just I think they wrote themselves into some corner backs against the wall, and they had to do some stuff. But whenever I'm watching a film, my suspension of disbelief gets completely blown to shreds when they put a character in a place and they have to press a button.
Yeah.
Like everything's riding on them to like wait to press a button or wait to put in a code if they draw that out too far, I'm just like, this is silliness. Did not have to happen this way.
For sure.
And that's how I felt when they split up Finn and Poe, because Poe had to stay behind and wait for them and he had to flip that switch to go into light speed.
Yep.
Which I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
I'll tell you, I
think they would have made a great trio.
They would.
You've got two heroes and the fan.
Yeah,
and
that's a good
just
point.
The fan, like totally geeking out the fact that they like she's along for the ride because she knows how to.
Yeah.
She knows how to mess with their like. I think it's a huge missed opportunity.
Yes, that is a good point. Yeah. I'll tell you, so we were talking about this last night. I will look forward to seeing what the fan editors do with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
The movie I always reference is Episode 1, The Phantom Edit, and Phantom Edit and Shadow of the Sith are both really well-done fan edits where they cut out Jar Jar.
Jar Jar and the pod races.
And the pod races. So I'm really curious to see if folks fan edit this movie and cut down on, the frozen foxes and the...
Yeah.
The
Nowadays, though, I mean, nowadays you could have fans that could literally CG out the CG.
Wow, that's true.
Probably. They just get their Mac out and pop it into Final Cut and see what they can do. But it's a film in angst. There's just so much tension in this film, and they don't know what to. I don't think they know what to do with it. This is the teenage film in the series. It's tough. It's tough for them to come off of.
Oh man,
it's very tough for them to come off of Force Awakens and Rogue One. Those films, in my opinion, are some of the best.
And Rogue One was a slam dunk follow film. Like,
I don't think I could ever. I don't think I could place Force Awakens at the top of my list just because of you need to watch the original films to get the full appreciation. But
yeah, where does Last Jedi fall for you?
Last Jedi falls somewhere probably. I don't know if I could put it below Phantom Menace in my spectrum. I think it's one notch above the original prequels.
Yeah.
The original prequels, the prequels.
The prequels.
Whereas Force Awakens, I would put probably right after A New Hope.
Right.
New Hope be number one, Force Awakens 2, Empire Strikes Back 3, and Return of the Jedi 4.
Yeah,
and
then, that's pretty much.
And then probably this film.
Yeah, that's. I think. For me, it's probably mixed up in the prequels. It probably would go Phantom Menace as we're going down. Mm-hmm. Phantom Menace this. Episode 2, Episode 3. Third from the bottom. But I feel like now I want to rewatch it just at home, you know.
No. Yeah, I'm.
Especially now that you have that tension going into these movies where you're like, please don't suck. Please be awesome. And like you were describing, you're trying to figure out, like, what the conflict of the characters, you're sort of following along with them the first time you're watching it. So rewatching it and sort of being like, okay, I know that this conflict is going to resolve this way. Let's look at other things.
Yeah.
Certainly, I feel like there are some shots in this movie, though, that if you could get printed as a 3x5 poster, would just be spectacular. Because cinematically, there are some beautiful scenes.
Yeah. Same in Force Awakens, just some beautiful, beautiful things. Yeah. The technology that we can use in making films is just so seamless when you're dealing with films like this now. It's so cool. Yeah, the visual of the film was great. So what about Benicio del Toro's character?
I was just going to ask
you. We got to talk about him. That's a good going out.
Spot on. And maybe that's the redeeming quality of that whole casino scene is the introduction of his character.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about a hardcore betrayal of the rebellion. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But you still like him.
Yep, you still kind of like him. It's, I mean, he's got his shtick of like being like, oh, I can get out of this jail cell whenever I want.
And right.
He's got all his little funny little picks, and he can do all that. But his message to the film was, his message to the film was rebellion, new order, it doesn't matter, it's war.
Right.
I'm just going to be in the middle. The same people are selling weapons to the the rebellion as to the new order, and I'm just a part of this machine, and whatever. I'm just middle of the road, and I'm just gonna go.
Right.
Yeah. What's that line that Finn has? He's like, "You're wrong. The new order will fall," or something like that.
Oh, and he ends with maybe. And
he's like, maybe.
That was perfect. As he's walking away, his last word is maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, that was really well done.
Yep.
So okay, here's my ending question to you.
Okay.
I saw a critic question, or one of the headlines of a critic's review: the best Star Wars movie since Empire. Yes or no?
No.
I agree.
The best.
That's hardcore.
I'd be interested how.
Yeah, I don't know how that isn't.
I will say that Force Awakens is a kind of a rehash of A New Hope.
Right.
But I feel like that's okay.
Right.
And I think that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And it's just, they keep the story isn't, as long as we stay on these characters, as long as we follow the Skywalker journey.
Sure.
through Star Wars, which that's what the Star Wars films are, is following the Skywalker blood. As long as we're talking about those people, the story is always going to be the light trying to prevail over the dark.
Yeah.
And so Force Awakens, very similar to A New Hope in kind of plot. I mean, there's literally another Death Star, except this time it's a whole planet.
Quadrupled in size.
Yeah.
Right.
And they got to blow it up. Okay. Same thing, but it's like, it's all the same thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, even this Last Jedi, like Sith apprentice kills Sith Lord. Jedi Master doesn't want to train apprentice. Like, we've seen that.
It's just, that is the story of this universe.
Press play and repeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apparently, that's just the story of this universe. As long as this battle is being fought.
Right.
It will be, that will be the story, and there will always be something. And there will always be someone that has to flip a switch.
Right.
And there will always be, so I guess once you kind of embrace all that stuff, it kind of smooths out any jarring issues you might have with the film. But best film since Empire, I don't buy it.
No, I don't know. So. Well, there you go.
Anyway.
All right.
I hope you guys enjoyed this. We'd love to hear your comments or questions going forward. Visit us at overthinkpod.com. Leave a comment there.
Yeah.
Email us. Find us on Twitter. All that jazz. We love hearing from you. So with that, may the Force be with you, Rich.
May the Force be with you.
All right. See you guys. Maybe. Maybe.
Thanks for listening to Overthoughts, a part of the Overthink Podcast Network. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to the podcast network. And if you're really feeling generous, go ahead and rate and review us on iTunes. That would really help us out in a big way and would help us create more content to share with you as well. So as always, you can check out our website at overthinkpod.com, and our handle is @overthinkpod pretty much everywhere else. So go ahead and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram and like us on Facebook, and that would help us by spreading the word. We're always interested in hearing from listeners, so please drop us a line and let us know what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, that kind of thing. Maybe even if you want to suggest some topics for us to cover on a podcast, that'd be great. You can email us at overthinkpod@gmail.com. Thanks again for stopping by.